technology increasingly affecting every aspect of our lives, it's important to understand how it affects us psychologically. Welcome to the Psychology of Technology podcast, where we look at how humans and machines collide.
And welcome to the Psychology of Technology with myself, Kareem Tawansi, and the magnificent...
Mr. Brett Raven. Good afternoon, Kareem.
I thought I'd let you describe your own magnificence. In our series that we started last episode, we are talking all things wonderful about migrating to the cloud. And in the last episode, we talked about making sure you choose the right cloud provider. So as we dig deeper, I think the next thing to be thinking about is what tech stack. And this is a little bit more sort of techie, but we're not, I mean, where we sort of sit with this podcast is not super tech, but there are some things that one needs to take into account. Each of the main platforms and have their own leaning. We'll probably confine our conversations today to AWS, Azure, and GCP. So, Brett, what views do you have with regard to, say, the various tech stacks?
Look, if you look historically, I think across the different platforms, they come from a perspective of back-end stacks. AWS has always been very much, at least in the early days, a LAMP stack type approach, so Linux, Apache, Mongo, and PHP in the early days. Of course, they expanded pretty quickly to take on the ability to manage other stacks and so on. But, you know, very open source-y kind of feel. I think AWS was really a developer set at the beginning of their life cycle. And expanded from there, and you know, looking at tools like Java and so on, we're pretty key to that. On the Azure front, of course, Microsoft's going to support their .NET capability out of the box, but that has evolved as well to support other capabilities. And then Google Cloud Platform really focused on Python out of the gate and some Node.js. Now, all these things may not make sense to people necessarily, but what they do is they defined how you deliver software, what languages you work in, what servers you need to spin up, how you manage resources, and so on. Yeah. So it's important to find the affinity that the cloud provider has. However, at the same time, I don't think it's a limiting factor anymore in deciding which cloud provider you go to.
No, I agree with that. I think the one thing, though, when planning a project of any sort, you do need to think about your tech stack and what consequences that has with respect to the human resources you're going to put on the project.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because some of these things are treated like religions almost, so you'll find that people are very excited about one particular stack and not another.
Yeah, you're right. I think you and I have had these conversations before about their frustration with developers who just focus on Java or .NET or whatever it is, which is, you know, in my view, career limiting, but it's also creativity limiting as well.
Yeah.
You need to choose the right tool for the right job, and languages tend to become, you know, a friend of mine said this once. He said, syntax is not the problem. Like, we don't need to keep inventing new languages.
Yeah.
Syntax is not the issue. It's making sure that you write software in a robust and scalable way that moves in the direction that you want it to. So pick your language and stick with it. You know, as you said, I think it's important to pick a language that is widely supported.
Yeah.
So if you pick that shiny new Golang or, you know, functional-based programming language that's kind of hard to learn off the top, like Scala, for example, you're really limiting your pool of market that you can draw resources from and get support from and so on. So very important decision, I would say.
Mm. Yeah, I would imagine it would. And I think also, I mean, there's obviously a separation between front end and back end. So we've been focusing on back end. We won't necessarily talk so much about front end. So, you know, JavaScript frameworks and libraries, et cetera, tends to be the go these days for most front-end development. But yeah, I think choosing that back-end stack is all important.
Yeah, look, there's one other thing to consider as well is, you know, DevOps as a concept. So to explain to people, there used to be a throw-it-over-the-fence process. The developers would write a bunch of code, they package it up, and then they give it to the ops guys. The ops guys were the team, or girls, were the team who would deploy the software, spin up servers, configure files, that kind of thing. So over the course of the last, say, 7 or 8 years at least, there's been more of a kind of a co-thinking between development and operations to have an individual group of individuals and a set of processes that make it easier for software to get deployed and instanced up on a server in some way through automation. So each one of the cloud providers do provide a different way of deploying software, whether it's through standard CI/CD processes whether using Git repositories or Team Foundation Server or whatever it is, and then deployments into containers or virtual machines and so on. So again, you need to think about where you need to place your bets when it comes to how deployments will work in a DevOps concept.
Some wise words from a man with a lot of wise gray hair.
A lot of gray.
So on that note, we're going to wrap this episode up. Thanks again, Mr. Great. Raven.
Thank you, sir.
Nice to see you.
And you.
Catch you next time.